And then take your Bibles, please. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll read verses 3 through 10. For those of you that are involved in politics, it's not 2 Corinthians, it's 2 Corinthians. Amen. And I'm not a Protestant, I'm a Baptist. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 3 through 10. Sorry, I had to throw that out there. Couldn't help it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. We'll read this passage responsively. I'll read verse 3. You join me on verse 4. We'll alternate through the passage that way. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you also be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you. We sure do love you. And God, this world is starved for the topic that we will preach about today. I pray that you would bless it. I pray that you'd fill me with your power as I preach. And Lord, allow my flesh to be out of the way and allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me today to the hearts of these people here in this room. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 is one of the most special parts of the Bible to me. I don't know if you will maybe not enjoy it as much right now, but there will come a point in time in life where you will need 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We humans seem to live for comfort. We eat for comfort. Say why? Because it makes your belly feel better, amen? We go to counseling for comfort. We shop or spend money for comfort. We amuse ourselves for comfort. We seek all types of entertainment for comfort. We use social media for comfort. Look at all the time, the money, and the effort that you put into being comfortable. People spend money on clothes and shoes and cars and electronics and bigger houses, etc., 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 just for what they call comfort. People then get in debt so far that they stress over paying for it, and they need more things to give them more comfort. And a vicious cycle begins, and all they're doing is looking for comfort. Not only do we need to get good comfort, but we create more stress and the need for more comfort by seeking comfort the wrong way. Let me show you what I mean. Your car starts getting older. It starts breaking down a little because you buy a Chevy. Sorry. That's what happens when you have a Ford man for a preacher. Amen. But your car gets older, it starts breaking down, you decide, I need a newer car. So you go and buy a newer car. I'm not saying maybe even that you bought a brand new one, but let's say you, my truck has about 183,000, 184,000 miles on it. But right now, I don't have the wherewithal to sell it and go buy one that's brand new. I walked by one the other day with my wife, and I said, man, look at that pretty F-150. She said, well, maybe someday, honey. I said, mm-mm. I said, too rich for my blood. I said, I don't want even anything close to that. She said, you don't want it? I said, I don't want to want it. How's that sound? I said, it's not that I said, I wouldn't know what to do with the truck that nice. I'd be afraid to put two or three deer in the back end of that thing for some reason because it's just too pretty. She said, no, you wouldn't. I said, I know, but it sounds good. But here's what happens. Your car gets older, starts costing you some in repairs, but it's paid for. And you decide, well, I need to go get a new one. And then you have a $275, $300, $350, $400 a month car payment to make. And now your car is dependable, but now you're stressed out over making the payments on the car. So that which you sought for comfort has created the need for more comfort because you're stressed by the comfort you got. Making sense to everybody? All right, I know. I went from preaching to meddling real quick, didn't I? You think I went to meddle into that? Wait till you get to the next one. We can eat food to comfort us, and we feel good for the moment. But then we need more comfort when we step on the scale. You know, the concept of dieting is very simple. What you poke in the pie hole is going to stay on the scale. There's only two ways for it not to be. You poke less in the pie hole or you work off what you poked in the pie hole. That is the whole method of, and you say, well, you can go natural. You can go carbless. You can go all protein. You can go this. I don't care what name you give to it. It's all in direct proportion of what you pack in here and what you do here. Period. And I'm preaching at myself on that one because I stepped on the scale this week too. Now, wait a minute. We seek comfort in food. Oh, we look at how many things. And by the way, your preacher's not understanding the term comfort food. There are not foods I go to find comfort. You say, what food is comfort food? Anything that I can swallow. That's comfort food. Amen. I don't long for a certain type of food all the time. You ask my wife. She'll tell you, in the 26 and a half, almost 27 years we've been married, I don't desire certain types of food. I am the hardest person for her to shop for because she'll say, what do you want different? I could eat the same thing every day, would not bother me, and I would never complain about it. I ate things for 10, 12 years and didn't tell her I didn't even care for it, but I ate it anyway because she put it on the plate and I ate it. What she feeds me, I will swallow, amen? One day, one of my kids wasn't eating it. And I messed up. I said, will you stop that? Well, I don't like it. I said, I don't like it either, but you haven't heard me complain about it. That was not, my wife said, you didn't like it? I said, it's not my favorite thing. She said, I said, but it's not something I hate. I said, I can eat it. It's just not one of my preferences. Boy, that didn't go over real well for a while. Now, folks, the world is seeking for comfort, and they can't find it. They're looking for comfort in all the wrong places. I want you to notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, God says, blessed be God, verse number 3, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, watch this, I love this statement, and the God of all comfort. Can I tell you something? God is the source of all comfort. I don't care what you need comforted about. God is the source of all comfort. It didn't say that Cracker Barrel is the source of all comfort. Golden Corral is not the source of all comfort. Definitely Ryan's is not. It's out of business. But you have to see that it doesn't say that God has comfort. It said that God is the God of all comfort. Ooh. In other words, you need God in order to have comfort that is true comfort and doesn't need more comfort by the comfort you're seeking. The farther away from God our society gets, the less real comfort our society has. This is why our society today is depressed, comfortless and running, forgive me for saying this, but running around stupid. The society of today says group hug and everything will be okay. I hate to tell you, but I'm not bringing Bob up here and Evan up here and Gus up here and Rich up here and say, oh, let's have a group hug. I just need comfort. Number one, if it was a group hug, it's going to be three fists coming at my head, amen? Men don't just run up and say, oh, Brother Stoltz, I need a hug. Don't worry, I'm not coming any closer. You say, why? I don't need that to be comforted. I don't tingle when a guy hugs me. There's only one person that makes me tingle when they hug, and that's my wife, amen? And that's the way it should be. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. I know that's not politically correct, but neither am I, so that's okay. The world says we won't keep score at children's ball games anymore because somebody might get their feelings hurt, and we won't have to comfort them if we don't keep score. Every boy in the world needs to know what it's like to get up in the bottom of the last inning, bases loaded, you need to get a hit, and it's three balls, two strikes, and if you strike out, you lose the game. If you walk or you get on base, you win the game for your team, and for them to strike out and lose the game. Everybody needs that type of experience. Folks, we live in such a soft soap, sissy, britches society of today, it bothers me. Good night. If we didn't keep score in a game, what's the point of going out there? The whole goal was to win. The whole goal was to conquer. The whole goal was to learn from it. Everybody doing okay? I'm going to get somewhere. We have become so politically correct that we don't have the freedom of expression because somebody's feelings might get hurt. I'm going on. I could pull up and park right there, but I will not for lack of time. By the way, we don't even have the right to ask if somebody's a man or a woman because we might hurt their feelings. And they may not even know what they are. Now, folks, it doesn't take a whole lot of sense. All right? I used to say it this way. Just watch which bathroom they go into and you can decide. We can't do that anymore. We're going to have three categories of washrooms publicly. You know, men's, women's, and to be determined. I don't understand this. And by the way, it's affecting churches, just so you know. I have a pastor friend in a distant state. He had a young person come to his church and started coming, and he was talking to the young person and thought that he was a he and found out that he was a she, and at 14 years old had about $200,000 worth of surgeries done to turn himself from a she to a he. I hate to tell you something, there's no 12, 13, 14-year-old that knows that they were gender neutral when they were born and had to decide what they are. That's coaching by somebody that's perverted and wrong. It is time that we see that God is the source of comfort. Comfort is not found in drugs. Comfort is not found in money. Comfort is not found in eradicating with people with whom you disagree. Comfort is not found in food, and comfort is not found in immorality. You know, I'm going to read what I wrote here so I don't get too much trouble. We don't need more hugs and drugs. We need God. We don't need more hugs and drugs. We need God. The farther away from God we get, the less comfort our society has. The farther from God we get, the more fear, the more panic, the more hysteria, and the need of comfort our world has. The more Bible-less our society gets, the more crime, the more violence, and the more comfort we need because we're looking for it in all the wrong places. They are trying to make that book right there, God's Word, the Bible, outlawed in our public places and in our schools. Listen to this. But in a school in Maryland, not 30 miles from where you're sitting right now, they're going through a lawsuit because they're converting entire classes to the Muslim religion, whether they want to or not. And a daddy rose up, a veteran rose up and said, my daughter is not going to recite all these things and become a Muslim. And they called the police and banned him from the property of the school and said, your daughter will do it or fail. They say Christianity is trying to legislate morality. I say the government's trying to legislate Muslimism. You say, aren't you afraid, preacher? Not a bit. Not a bit. Not a bit. We're seeking comfort in all the wrong places. God does not just make comfort available. God does not just have comfort. The Bible says he is the God of all comfort. God does not just have some comfort. He is the only source of real comfort. We can't get comfort outside of God. I don't care how many illicit relationships you enter, you won't find comfort. I don't care how many people you go hug, you won't find comfort. I don't care how many bars you frequent and how many things you pour down your throat called devil water, you're not going to find comfort. I don't care how many movies you watch from Hollywood, you won't find comfort. Folks, our world is so wicked and so vile. Did a little looking this week. They have some new program out on television called Lucifer. The whole premise, and this is the write-up on it, he is turning evil into good. Help us. Help us. Don't tell me Hollywood's good for you. But that's not the sermon. Let me give you three or four things here and I'll be done. But I want to help you today. I want to talk to you about the God of all comfort. Number one, suffering and affliction is required before comfort is needed. Suffering and affliction is required before comfort is needed. Look at verse number three. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Did you know that, listen to this statement. Did you know that if you're not suffering or you're not afflicted, not afflicted like me, but if you're not afflicted, did you know that there's no comfort needed? Did you know that if you're not in trouble, there's no need for comfort? We think, and I'll get to this in a little while, we think comfort means remove the opposition, and that's not what comfort is. Mamas, when little Junior was playing and bumped his head and the knot came out the size of an apple, and it started turning purple and he's screaming, you comforted him by letting him know you were there, and you kissed his boo-boo. It wasn't the taking away of the knot on his head. By the way, every boy's got a knot on his head. Usually it's permanent, amen? And every boy needs whipped every day, whether he needs it or not, because he needs it, amen? Say, how do you know? I raised two of them, trust me. Now, wait a minute. Listen to this very carefully. That child did not find comfort in you removing the knot from their head. They found comfort in knowing somebody was there to help them through the knot on their head. There wasn't need of comfort prior to the banging of the head or the busting of the finger. Or, as this week happened to me, I got bit by a brown recluse spider and it bit me in the thumb right on the joint on the hand. That thing was red, swelled up, sore. I couldn't even bend my thumb all the way. And there's certain things you don't put on a spider bite because you can make it worse. So I soaked that thing in Epsom salts and soaked that thing in Epsom salts. And then I was over at Wally's and she's an RN. I said, Wally, she's, oh, preacher. You better, I said, I ain't going to no stupid doctor or hospital for a stupid spider bite. She said, well, what if it gets infected? I said, I'll cut the stupid thing off and keep going. I said, I'm not doing it. I said, I'm a man. I'm not going there saying a bug bit me. Can you help me? I said, just not in me. And today I can bend my thumb most of the way, amen? It's getting better. But I didn't have my wife come over and kiss my boo-boo. It wasn't going to fix the problem. And I know men are sissies and women are tough. I understand that. But men talk tough and women don't, so it's okay. Wait a minute. There is no need of comfort unless you have suffering and affliction. Listen to this. The words suffering and affliction mean this. It means to squeeze or to rub, like rub the wrong way or rub off something. It means hardship, pain, or a narrowing. I would call that getting drugged through a knothole, amen? That's what suffering and affliction means. That means this. Many feel that comfort is the lack of suffering or affliction, but it's not. It is what comes as a result of suffering and affliction. Ladies, you didn't have your babies without suffering and affliction. You didn't want it removed. You wanted it to go full term, and you had to get through the pain to find the comfort. And then for the next 16, 17, 18 years, you're saying, why in the world did I do that? That's why God gives them to you when you're too young and dumb to know what's coming, amen? Comfort is not the removal of suffering and affliction. The word comfort, listen to this, I want to help you. And I'm not the world would say theologian. I've met enough of those people to realize I don't want to be one of them. I just read the Bible, study the Bible, and let God tell me what the Bible says. Now, I've had Greek. I understand a little bit of it. I can't read it fluently. But I will tell you this. The King James Bible is the Word of God. It's inspired, perfect, infallible. It's all you need. Don't worry about it. God wrote it, not man. As long as you understand that, you're better than 99.9% of the theologians you'll hear about. But the word comfort is the word in Greek, parakilo. Parakilo. And it means to run to the side of and lift up or hold up the one in need. Huh. It means this. It means, Brother Stoltz, come on up here. If somebody came up and broke Brother Stoltz's leg and he falls down, and I did not kick him and I didn't push him down, just so you know. To comfort him, I'm to come over and help him up and help hold him up to get him back to where he needs to be. That is the word parakilo. It wasn't that I took his leg off. Aren't you glad? It wasn't that I said, well, it's broke right there. If he was a horse, I'd get my gun and shoot you. Because you can't have an animal that size with a broken leg. They'll die of pneumonia and a slow, painful death. And usually when a horse breaks their leg, they have to shoot them. Or a cow or something like that. They can't lay down all the time. And that's why you hear the term that if, you know, in the old cowboy movies, their horse fell and broke its leg and they'll feel it and say, got to put it out of its misery. It's not that it was dying from the broken leg. But there's no way to heal that, because if they lay down that long, they're going to die of pneumonia. Their lungs will fill up with fluid because they're made to stand virtually almost all their life. Now, I realize there are some, and you've seen movies where they put them in giant slings and pick them up. Yeah, that works very rarely and usually only in Hollywood. But parakilo means I came to his side, I lifted him up, and I helped him to a place of safety and comfort. Huh. Watch this. I'm about to have a spell. My Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 26, but the Comforter, capital C, which is the Holy Ghost. Uh-oh. God says that the Comforter is the Holy Spirit of God. Now watch this. That word is the word paraclete. Same word, but it's in reference to a person. Instead of parakilo, it's the word paraclete. God says that the Holy Spirit is there to bring you comfort. When you need Him, He'll run to your side. He'll aid you. He'll help hold you up and get you through the suffering and the affliction that you have. You see, it's not the removing of the affliction. It is going through the affliction with someone helping you that brings you comfort. See, sin brings sorrow. Sin brings suffering. Sin brings affliction. But God wants you to have comfort. That's why when you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves in. He indwells you and you have eternal comfort available to you. But you don't get it till you get saved. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego had to go through the fiery furnace. God did not keep them from the fiery furnace. God made them go into the fire, but He gave them comfort in the fire. Everybody see what I'm talking about? They didn't need comfort till they opened the door and threw them in. But then God comforted them. God loosed them. They warmed their hands up by the fire and walked out, and they didn't even smell like smoke. And the king said, "Wow, Shazam, how'd that happen?" He said, "How many is in there?" They said, "Four." He said, "How many do we throw in?" They said, "Three." He said, "That fourth must be the Son of God." He said, "Because nobody else could do that. Tell them come back out." I think that's the funniest thing in the whole story. The king calls for him to come out of the fire. Now, I don't know about you, but I had to shut the door and locked it. Here they come. Not even their hair was singed. Wow. You see, God makes comfort available to you as a result of the suffering and the affliction that you go through. Number two, and I must hurry. The world cannot help or give comfort. Do you know that a lost person and the lost world cannot give you real comfort?
That's right.
I'll tell you why. Watch this. Lost man has a dead spirit. Now, man is made up of body, soul, and spirit. Now, watch this. Lost man has a dead spirit. So he is only body and soul. That is physical and personality. Let me show you the difference. Body is this flesh. Okay? It's this pile of dirt put together with some water, and God made man out of flesh. That's why when you die, it turns back to dirt. My soul is my ability to communicate with everybody around me. That is my wonderful personality. That is my ability to get along with people. That's my attitude. That is my soul. My spirit is that which allows me to communicate with God. And lost man has a dead spirit and has the inability to communicate with God. That means there's a separation between man and God. That's why you need the mediator, Jesus Christ. He came to pay that sin debt, to reunite and born again your spirit, birth it again, so that you had direct access to God. That's what Nicodemus said in John chapter 3. You must be born again. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Ooh. It's not talking about you being born again physically. My mama wouldn't want me crawling back inside of her and her birthing me this time this size. Say, no way, preacher. You're right. But what needs born again is man's spirit. When man sinned, his spirit died. And lost man is only body and soul. By the way, that's why they seek comfort that is personality and physical. And there's no comfort in those because they're condemned by sin, and they're sensual in nature. Watch this. But when a person gets born again, they can get comfort from the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit of God working with your spirit that's been reborn, and then you get real comfort. You get real comfort. You see, the lost world's comfort is their rock music. The filthiest this side of hell is rock music, rap music, hip hop. All the sensuality of music of today, the violence of it, and the sensual terminology, and the very term rock and roll is a physical sensual term to begin with. The world will tell you, well, let's just go get drunk and forget about it for a while. How many of you have ever heard the term Southern comfort? I had to look it up. I heard it. I didn't know what it was. Found out it's is it whiskey or something like that? Some kind of alcoholic drink. It's called Southern. I don't know. Never drank any of it to know. Amen. But thank God I had. Amen. Can I tell you something? I don't care how much liquor you pour down your throat, you're not going to find comfort.
Right.
Not at all. You can go eat all the comfort food you want, then you're going to be depressed about how much you weigh. I was in the store the other day with my wife looking for things for her bedroom. They have and if I don't pronounce this right, it's because I'm not real educated on it. I think they call it aromatherapy. They charge you five times as much for a candle than call it aromatherapy. Good night. We'll burn all these different things and it'll create this mood. And it, folks, I don't care how many candles you burn, it's not going to create a mood for me. It might cover up some bad smell, but it ain't going to create no mood for me. That's why you have psychologists and psychiatrists. They only deal with your soul and your body. They don't deal with anything that is spiritual. And that's why they're out of hell. I know that wasn't politically correct, but I don't give a rip. come here, Brother Stoltz. That's why you have what they call comfort zones. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Did you ever meet somebody that when they talk to you, they get right up here like this and start talking to you? And you're like, okay, Brother Stoltz handled that real well. You go, back up a little bit there. Now, wait a minute. I deal with all kinds of people. I got people that will get in my face like this, and then I got people that if you get within 10 feet of them, they're putting a hanky over their face because they're afraid they're going to get a germ. You know, OCD on germs. Where you go to shake their hand, and they'll go, and then they pull out their hand sanitizer. Wait a minute. Thank you, Brother Stoltz. Can I tell you something? You got germs. Don't worry about it. Nah, I'm not. I think you ought to wash your hands a lot. I think after you go to the washroom, you wash your hands. That's for everybody else's protection. I think if you're going to cough in your elbow, or if you coughed in your hand, cough in your left hand. Don't shake my hand after you coughed in this hand. I'm trying to stay well. And I'm for being clean, and I'm for being neat. And the ushers will tell you, we sanitize the offering plates every service. Say why? Because I even believe in passing the offering plates, we got to try to keep everybody as well as we can. And I'm for that. You say, you're OCD. No, I'm not. I'm just trying to keep everybody. I know what it takes in a group of people to keep people from passing, you know, communicable diseases. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Those things don't bring comfort. Immorality never has brought comfort to anybody. Shacking up and sleeping around doesn't bring comfort to anybody. Usually it brings more harm and destruction. We live in a sexed crazed, huggy crazed, everybody's got to hug each other mentality. Yeah. Look at the average high school today, and there's more hugging going on there than the average marriage. Teenagers are taught, let's run up and hug everybody. Everybody doing all right? Drugs don't comfort you. Now, don't get mad at me, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. I don't care if they're prescription or non-prescription. I believe that medication is there for a purpose. But I believe a lot of people abuse medication too often. In the last 10 years of my ministry, I've counseled more people that are addicted to prescription medicine than I have people that aren't on prescription medicine. And I do know what I'm talking about here. I'm not saying that if you're taking a prescription that you're a bad person and you're addicted to drugs. All right? That is not what your preacher said. But we have some people, they got to take a pill to wake up. They got to take a pill to go to sleep. They got to take a pill to go to potty. They got to take a pill not to go to the potty. They got to take a pill to get their heart rate up. Then they got to take a pill to take their heart rate down. Then they got to take a pill for this. Take a pill. Good night. You're on a diet just by taking pills because there's no room left in there. The world keeps seeking comfort, and their comfort is only temporary. And it's because they're spiritually dead and can't find real comfort till they get saved. Brother Fred sitting back there. That man was searching. You talk about an ornery critter. Comfortless. Don't get mad at me, Fred. He's back there nodding. It's okay. I'm not talking the kind of nodding you were doing either. But but all of a sudden, after a few months of a hard-headed Baptist preacher just beating him with the gospel stick, it finally made sense. Now he's saying, why did I fight it so long? Why did I not do this? Why was I actively against it? Wait a minute. The moment he got saved, it took a little while, but it started growing in there, and he started finding the real comfort he needed. That doesn't mean that you got it, and then all the comfort's there. It means it's all available. Doesn't mean you got it. Brother Fred's brother passed away. The funeral was this week, and he was unable to get there. Brother Fred's heart's been broken. You can imagine. His brother was instrumental in him getting saved. His brother, I didn't get to meet him, going to someday, but praise the Lord, Daryl and I, when we get to heaven, he's going to walk up and slap me on the shoulder and say, thanks for being more hard-headed than Fred. I worked on him all them years and he wouldn't listen to me. When Fred talked to him, he went to Alabama this last summer. He said, man, I met up with this Baptist preacher. He said, good, listen to him. He said, I thought you was going to be on my side. He said, no, I'm on his side. Told you I liked him. But wait a minute. His heart's hurting. His heart's grieving. But guess what? He's found comfort. He wanted to go. I went to his house on Tuesday morning. I said, Fred. He said, I'm going to drive. I'm thinking, no, you're not. You can't even get out of your driveway right now. I could barely get in it. And the roads aren't any better. And I had to tell him I don't think it's wise to go, and had to watch him cancel his plans to go to his own brother's funeral. Watched him hurt and grieve. But can I tell you something? We've found some comfort in all of this. It wasn't the absence of his. There's no way that I could bring his brother back to life. But we were able to find some comfort. By the way, that's why Jesus said, why seek ye the living among the dead? The world is seeking comfort among the dead. Did you know you can't go to the graveyard and find comfort? There's nobody at the graveyard that's going to bring you comfort. They're not there. Well, I was there and they started talking. If they did, I'd have been out of there in a heartbeat. You're messing with things that aren't real. Woo, that's crazy stuff there. By the way, we Christians ought not be going to the world for comfort. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. You don't need to go to the world for comfort. You need to go to God for comfort because he is the source of all comfort. Number three, and I'll finish. The purpose of spiritual comfort so that we can help others who need comfort. The purpose of spiritual comfort is so we can help others who need comfort. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse number 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Did you know I don't have to have experienced the very problem you're going through to help give you comfort if you're saved? Did you know that, okay, Brother Fred, my brother's still alive, the only brother I've got. But I believe I was able to bring comfort to Brother Fred even though my brother has not died. You say, why? Because I've learned how to get spiritual comfort. And when we did spiritual comfort, it permeates my inability because it's spiritual and it's the Holy Spirit of God, not me. You see, well, how can somebody your age help a senior citizen? Ask them. I'll tell you. I can help them. Can I tell you why? Because we give them spiritual help, not physical and not just emotional help. Spiritual help permeates and goes beyond what the person is. Notice that term right there. Who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. It didn't say the trouble that we came from. I'm going to make a statement here, and don't get too awful mad at me, but we've listened to the worldly psychologist too much. I'm not a real big fan of, well, let's put all the drug addicts in one room and all the alcoholics in another, and we'll call it rehab. Well, they've grown. Yeah, they may have grown, but I've watched a lot of them, and I've dealt with a lot of them that were doing well till they got in that room, and then they slipped back into it. Because they keep talking about what they came out of versus what they're headed to. They need a hard-headed Baptist preacher and somebody with the Word of God to keep pounding them with the gospel, get them cleaned up, and keep going straight. They need to get saved and go out and start telling others about Jesus Christ and say, look, I was lost, but I got saved. God took all that away, and let me show you how you do it.
That's good.
It's a brother Gus who used to drink a Jack Daniels bottle a weekend. But then he got saved. God took it away. And now he's going out soul winning each week and doesn't have the desire to drink the Jack Daniels because seeing people get saved is better than drinking alcohol.
Right.
It wasn't because he went to a 10-step program or a 7-step program or however many steps you got to step. I've taken enough steps in life and stepped in things I shouldn't step in. Matter of fact, I had birds rain it down on my head this week. Wait a minute. Spiritual comfort crosses the boundaries of experience. Spiritual comfort crosses the boundaries of experience. Can I tell you why? Because it comes from God, not from man. Read the book of Job sometime and look at Job's three friends. Bildad, Eliphaz, and Elihu, I think are their names. And they're all talking about things that are not spiritual. And Job finally, God says through Job, miserable comforters are y'all. Well, Job, you've got boils and you've lost your businesses and you've lost your wealth. You've lost the loyalty of your wife and God's judging you. It's all physical. Can I tell you something? God finally said, miserable comforters are y'all. They were not comforting Job. Now, God did not judge Job. God allowed Satan to do those things to Job. But God was not judging him. God was proving him. And Job needed real spiritual comfort, and his friends were kicking him while he's down. I'm going to go ahead and say it again. I say it every once in a while, and I still mean it. When somebody in this church falls into sin, by the way, we're all sinners. You don't know what it is anyway, because we're all sinners. I'm not going to stand here and say, okay, Brother Ron Kisner, you're a filthy, vile sinner. Get up here and tell everybody what you did wrong this week. Number one, you can't forgive him anyway. Only God can forgive his sin. Number two, it's none of your stinking business what he did. Number three, it's not going to do you any good what he did. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun here. Well, you're just covering up what people have done wrong. Thank God when you get saved, it's covered under the blood.
Yes,
and you're justified just as if you had never sinned. You're lined up. And by the way, God looks at your record and he said, what sins are you talking about? It's not even there. Not only is it covered in the blood, but God took the sin away and put the righteousness of Jesus Christ on top of it and buried it in the depths of the sea. Well, God's just covering up sin. Yes, let's be more like God and less like man. You see, I don't have to be an alcoholic to help an alcoholic. I don't have to smoke cigars or cigarettes to help somebody get off of smoking. I don't have to be immoral to help somebody that's immoral. Everybody doing all right? Well, how can you help somebody if you haven't truly experienced it? That's a worldly psychology mentality. That is not a spiritual mentality. Spiritual help from a word of God, from the Holy Spirit of God, can help any problem and cross all those boundaries. Can I tell you why? Because that book is alive. It crosses all generations. That's what the word inspired means. It means life-giving breath. God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That is the word inspire. He breathed life into it, and it's still alive. Do you know that God doesn't breathe into you every breath you take? He started it and gave you the breath of life. And until you die, your body keeps breathing. My daughter got certified for CPR this week through the daycare she works at Bible College. She said, Daddy, she said, you know, I was going through this and I realized you said something about the Bible being inspired and it gives life, it breathes life into it. She said, that's exactly what CPR is. I said, yes, it is. I said, you breathe air into it, gets the heart pumping, and life comes back in. I said, God breathed into man breath. He breathed the word of God. That means he spoke every one of those words, because as you speak, air passes that you have breathed in out your mouth, over your vocal cords and out your mouth to give you those words. Those words were there before God made the heaven and the earth. They have been eternal in the heavens. God gives us principles and truth to help us comfort each other that surpasses pain and affliction and tribulation. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Everybody doing okay? Did you know that I've had a couple children that had faced some pretty big obstacles physically in life. My youngest son, when he was 4 months old, spent three weeks on a life support system because he had RSV, bronchiolitis, asthma, and pneumonia all at the same time, quit breathing, spent 3 weeks on a ventilator. Ugh. You know, I learned how to work with people that were in the hospitals and hurt a little different way with people that were going through that. My wife was out soul winning yesterday, and she had asked a lady if she knew for sure she was going to heaven. The lady said yes, and she said, well, can I ask you how you know? My wife said, the lady just burst out into tears. She thought, is everything okay? She said, well, I'm just having a real tough time. And my wife, her love and compassion for people said, well, is there something I can help you with? And she couldn't even talk. She was crying so much and said, I'm just going through such a bad time right now. And my wife was, she said, I didn't know what else to do. I couldn't go any farther with her. I said, it's okay. I said, it just proves you know how to love people. Can I tell you something? I've been through some battles as a preacher over the last 26 years. Do you know, it doesn't take much for me to want to run to a preacher's side and try to help him when he's going through a battle. Good night. We were in California going through the battle of a lifetime. Going through that battle made me sensitive to preachers that have battles. About 4:45 this morning, I texted a couple preacher friends of mine, told them I loved them and was praying for them. About 5:00, my phone buzzed and it was one of my preacher friends. He said, Brother Bush, he said, pray. He said, it's been a long, hard night. He said, I really need it. Thanks. I said, Doc, I'm going to dedicate the next 20 minutes on my drive to the church to pray for you. And I spent the next 20 minutes and I prayed for him as I drove here to church. Talked out loud to God the whole way, begging God for my friend. 25 minutes later, he said, Preacher, he said, I don't know what you did. He said, but God just breathed some strength into my body. I'm going to make it today. Amen. I know what it's like. Been there. Know how hard that is sometimes. You know, let me finish. This world has no comfort that lasts. Money doesn't bring comfort. It doesn't last. Big bank account doesn't bring any comfort. It doesn't last. Things, bigger houses, nicer cars, more pairs of shoes, more clothes doesn't bring comfort. All comfort comes from God. And may I say this? That came from God. God gave you that to help you when you need it. Don't run from it. God gave you a man of God at this church that preaches that book so that you could find comfort. Don't miss it. You know, the very thing some of you need, you miss because you're not at church when you need to be. And I'm not scolding you. I'm just saying we ought to be here every chance we get. We need to raise our kids around it so that they can get the comfort they need as they grow up. Maybe you've never been saved and you're looking for it. Well, can I tell you something? We're all sinners. We all deserve hell because we're sinners. I don't care who you are. Don't care what you are, how good you've been. We're all sinners and we all deserve hell. But Jesus Christ came and paid that sin debt for you. You don't get it by getting baptized. You don't get it by joining a church. You don't get it by living a good life. You only get it by trusting what Jesus Christ did to take you to heaven and that alone. It is that simple. Jesus Christ came, lived your righteousness for you, shed his blood to cover your sins for you, and you can't earn it. You just got to trust him. By the way, once you get it, you can't get rid of it. It's eternal. There's nothing you could do to lose it. Nothing. You might disappoint him along the way, but that doesn't mean he changed your name. He didn't. It's still the same. Some of you need to just decide you're going to stay faithful to being at all the services and getting involved and telling. Can I tell you the best cure for comfort? Go soul winning. Tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. It'll help you. It is the best cure for it. I watch Christians get out of church. You know what the first thing they stop doing is? Soul winning. Always. I watch people get disgruntled and leave churches all over the country. Can I tell you the first thing that happened? They quit going soul winning, or they didn't even start. I watch it. Be careful. You get out there and start helping other people. Start investing that comfort God gave you in other people and watch what God will do. Just watch what he will do. And then stay in the Bible. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Who would say, preacher, if I died today, I know 100% sure that I would go to heaven if I die. I won't lie to you, won't lie to God, but you'd raise your hand and say, preacher, I know that for sure. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who would say, preacher, and by the way, I won't embarrass you just like I did not embarrass them, but who would say, preacher, if I died today and I'll not come to you, I'll not call your name or call you out, I would not embarrass you, but who would say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know. Would you raise your hand? All right, someone else? All right. Who'd say, preacher? Maybe I've been looking at comfort the wrong way. Something inside that sermon today that I personally needed today. And I know that sermon was, there's a truth in there that I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores and scores of hands are up. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the music will begin to play. When the music begins to play, those of you that raised your hand saying that God did some work in your life today, why don't you come to this altar and talk to him about it? If you raised your hand, not sure you're going to heaven someday, why don't you come to this altar? We'll have somebody take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. Maybe you've been saved and you've never been baptized. We could care for that today, but that doesn't get you to heaven. Just lets everybody else know you've been saved. Whatever you need today,